Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Don't have to run another play. This ball game is over. And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. The golden scepter is ours. Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years and their third overall. Clemson once again paints the college football world orange and will be declared kings of college football.
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Make some noise in this joint, man! 1, 2, 3! Let me see those hands again! Head on out! Head! Everybody jump! Jump!
It's a Tuesday. It's Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Andrew with your updates. We take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. Next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio as Don Munson, Clemson Radio Network, brings us out as the Tigers, a dominant victory over the Alabama Crimson Tide last night, 44-16, the final for the fourth straight year the two teams met up. For the second time in the last 3 years, Clemson is your national champion for Dabo Sweeney and for Lawrence and all those Clemson Tigers, the 26 seniors that won 55 games over the course of 4 years. And two national championships, historic for what Dabo's been able to accomplish. And Taz, what a night if you were a Clemson Tiger and a fan of them last night out in Santa Clara, California.
Yeah, man, you're not kidding. Moose, it was like, what the hell did we watch? It was, we knew it'd be a battle, and it started off like a shootout. It started off like that first quarter was, it was 14-13, Clemson was winning, but it was like back and forth, as you know, and then it just, you know, Clemson just rolled, man. They just, pardon the pun, they just rolled as the game evolved, just kept going and just kept scoring, and Alabama couldn't. And that, you know, I tell you, it was, you know, we knew it would be a great game, like we said, right? We knew it would be a really, really good game. I did not expect 44-16, did you?
No, I did not expect 44-16, and we didn't even get a great game. You know, you got a great performance, but, I mean, it just goes hand-in-hand with what we witnessed in the bowl season. The national semifinals weren't particularly competitive, and last night's game wasn't particularly competitive either. But that does not take away anything from what you saw from Clemson and from that senior class of 26 guys, you know, Renfro, Wilkins, and the like, that went out there and sent a message to the college football landscape, went in as a 5.5-point underdog, did Clemson the message from Sweeney as he mentioned it to his team on Sunday night going into the national championship game Monday night, is saying if we play the way that we are capable of playing, we will leave no doubt. And they left no doubt. They won at the point of attack. The Alabama offensive line could not handle the defensive front of Clemson in any way, shape, or form. You look at Tua, looked completely uncomfortable in the pocket, and his decision-making at times was quite poor, especially on the two interceptions. One, the pick six on the opening Alabama possession, went back the other way after they forced a Clemson three and out to open the game, Taz, and you just saw what was a butt-whooping. I mean, that's what Alabama took last night, and Clemson handed it out. They were better in every single phase, whether it be coaching, special teams, offense, defense. Last night, the class of college football was not Alabama, it was Clemson. And Dabo Sweeney and his staff completely outcoached Nick Saban and his staff.
Yeah, and no doubt. I completely agree. And you mentioned that pick six at the very beginning of the game by Tua. It was intended for Judy, and that interception, it was, I think it was Terrell. And dude... I felt like when that happened, like, whoa, Did they just set a tone? Did the Tigers just set a tone from Jump Street in this game? Did they just set a tone? I was thinking maybe, just maybe, and then Tua came back and just the next series for them and just, boom, chucks a touchdown. And you're like, all right, 62 yards, right? You're like, all right, here we go. It's a gunfight. It's a battle. That's what I thought was going to happen just from the first quarter. I thought the first quarter was a good game, and then after that, you're right, it stunk. But you do have to tip your cap to the Clemson Tigers from every aspect, as you just nailed perfectly, from coaching to playing and everything.
Yeah, I mean, over the final 44 minutes of the football game, Clemson outscored Alabama 30-0.
Crazy.
I mean, it was 16-14 early on in the second quarter. You're going to look at some of the points that Alabama left on the field, whether it be the missed extra point, whether it be where they had the ball basically at the half-yard line, got pushed back in a 5-yard procedural penalty, and then ended up having to settle for a field goal instead of it being a 20-14 game. It was just 16-14, and just whatever mistake Alabama made, Taz, when you realize it's just not your night, they paid a hefty price. Whether it be a touchdown, whether it be a first down, they could not get Clemson off the field. I mean, defensively, I have not seen an Alabama team get taken behind the woodshed as badly as they did last night.
Crazy.
Lawrence, after his first two possessions, was throwing seeds all over the place. Every third down catch and play that they needed to make, they made. Alabama had no answers in that secondary. They could not get... I mean, Trevor Lawrence had 32 dropback passes last night, was not sacked on one occasion.
Crazy.
And we said it before the game, if Alabama's not going to get pressure on the quarterback, they're not going to be able to... That secondary, which replaced six guys from the team a year ago, was not going to be able to hold up, and they didn't. They were brutal.
It was like, what the hell were we watching? It was shocking. I mean, Alabama all year, unbelievable. Defense, offense, everything. And then just... I think the key is more than being outplayed, I think they were outcoached, as you nailed it earlier. I do think that Dabo and his crew, his staff, I just think from game prep, they were more prepared than Nick Saban and his staff, which is unheard of. You know, no one ever outcoaches Saban and or his staff. I think that's a big part of this, besides how well the guys in Orange played compared to the guys in that deep burgundy.
Well, yeah, and I don't disagree. And Saban basically said as much at halftime, where when he was walking off the field and spoke with Maria Taylor, said that Clemson was doing some stuff on the field that his team did not prepare for, that they did not put on tape all season long. And you saw that in the first half, and he was talking about what they were doing offensively, I guess with some of their schemes, some of their rub routes, and in order to get guys open that Alabama had not prepared for. What they did, they said they'd make some adjustments, but still in the second half, they got outscored 14-0. I mean, you're right, and maybe it's a changing of the guard. I don't think Alabama's going anywhere, but also Clemson's not going anywhere either. Mm. And you listen to Sweeney, the way that he addresses his team, the way that the players do respond to him. There's no doubt that guys are going to continue to want to go out there and play for Clemson, Taz, moving forward. And last night, the message, this was not 35-30, this was not 48-45. This was a butt whooping.
Yeah.
This was Clemson Notre Dame. That's what Clemson did to Alabama last night.
Well, and I agree. And some would say, and I thought this, and I still think it a little bit, even though the scoreboard showed a little difference. It was in the third quarter. It was probably maybe 8-9 minutes left in the third quarter. The fake field goal by Alabama. It was 31-16 at that time.
Yep.
And that fake field goal, I do think Moose. And Clemson stopped them, shut them down. That, as if Clemson needed more momentum, I think that set a tone for the Tigers in the third quarter. Okay, and it was a dumb move. I mean, I don't know what they were, and Saban admitted it's a poor decision. That was just like, you can't. I don't know what they. It was 4th and 6.
Yeah, he said they missed a block. It was his call. He took blame on it. I agree with you. The base defense was out there for Clemson. They were not rushing the kick. They thought and they sniffed out that maybe a fake was coming at that stage. If you're going to go for it, keep your offense on the field. Keep two on the field at 4th and 6 and run a fourth down play. Don't do a fake, especially when it's so obvious, Taz. If that is a game that's at that stage, say for argument's sake, 28-24,
right,
and Clemson, then maybe you run a fake because the Tigers are not expecting it. That was 31-16 game. Alabama's looking to try and turn the momentum of that game. And you've seen in this series between the two teams in three previous matchups that there were big special teams plays that kind of changed the momentum of the game in each and every one of them. So you knew Clemson going into it. Hell, right. Yesterday we were chatting about the fact that we thought maybe a special teams play could change the momentum of the game.
True.
So
this might have been
that did on the opposite way. But
right.
Taz, when they were lining up, I thought they're going to call a fake here. What is a field goal? First off, the field goal kicker is not particularly good.
Bro, he was the lead blocker. The kicker, if you watch the playback, because I watched at home.
No, the kicker was the lead blocker.
That's designed, as you know. So the strategy of that play, when they put that play in practice, whenever, probably at the beginning of the year, number 97, the field goal kicker, okay, he is the lead blocker. What, 4th and 6? You got all these great players on his team. All these guys. And the design, I mean, I hate the armchair coach, but I got to be honest. The kicker's the lead blocker with 6 yards to go.
Well, the guy up front missed the block.
Yeah, right. But the lead blocker for the ball carry is the kicker.
I get it, but Saban's going to look back at the game film. One of his offensive linemen completely missed a block.
Right.
And that led to a defensive lineman coming in too.
Bro, you're right.
And that's it. I just have a – when a team's set up with their base defense, you can't run a fake. It's just not going to work.
No.
I mean, at 4th and 6, it's just not going to work. I mean, Taz, they had guys that were – sitting right at the line to gain. They were not going to get the first down. That's why I thought it was such a terrible call. You talk about the execution as well. There's a lot of ways to go in. And at that stage, once they did not convert there, Taz, it was basically the game's over. If you had any doubt, the game was over. Maybe a hold held on hope. Last year, Alabama stunned the nation by rallying from 13 down at the half against Georgia when they put 2 in the game. Last night, they were down 15 at the half. There was no rally because Clemson did not take the foot off the pedal, and they've got a team and a staff that is able to finish a game off, and that's exactly what they did. And a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who throws for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Tremendous.
And is an unbelievable freshman at 19 years of age and a poise beyond his years.
Dude.
People often say that, but you saw it last night. I thought his inexperience in this kind of a moment might come back to haunt them last night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those throws were easy throws, but he also put it on guys and made some NFL caliber throws last night in California.
He is a future number one pick.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no doubt about that. This kid is as advertised. You know, I touched on it yesterday. My opinion was that because I've seen him play a lot, you've seen him play a lot. I feel like he has a lot of poise, and he showed that yesterday for such a young guy. And he's a gigantically tall kid. What was that, 6'5", 6'4", and he sees over that line. He's got that cannon arm. His decision-making is excellent. He protects the ball, Moose. I mean, no interceptions, nothing. You know, where Tua turned it over twice. You know, it was surprising, usually because Tua is usually on point. You know, his accuracy is usually perfect. You know, well, not perfect, but close to perfect. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, I know on a stat guys, you know, but he was 20 of 32 with 347 yards. 3 touchdowns. How impressive, dude.
Yeah, he was great.
And ETN, the running back, dude. Oh, that kid's a stud. ETN,
yes.
He's a strong, tough kid.
Yeah, he had 3 good touchdowns in the first half as well, and ran for a tad under 100 yards. Just a complete and utterly balanced attack and a dominant performance by Clemson. There's really no way to knock it. And for Alabama, to me, the stunning nature was to see a team like Bama, with a staff led by Nick Saban, get so outplayed the way that they did in a big time spot. We all knew how good Clemson was, and we talked about it yesterday. Clemson easily can win the football game. Wouldn't have been surprised if they won it last night. Was surprised in the style and fashion which they did, and to the program that they did it to, because of how good Alabama has been for the 12 years under Nick Saban, and they've been the class of college football. And you often don't see a team, especially Alabama, even if they're down, they usually rally. There was nothing last night. They couldn't complete a big fourth down when they needed it. Tua with the interceptions, not recognizing blitzes, going too early with his pre-snap reads, the changing of the defense in the secondary and the coverage late by Brent Venables, and that defensive secondary. It was a tour de force performance. Any way you cut it by Clemson.
It really was.
It was amazing.
And early in the game, dude, as you know, man, that Alabama, their running game was on point. Najee Harris was playing great. Jacobs, D. Harris. These guys were all, they were all running the ball great. There was a run flow going. But it just, they made an adjustment. Clemson made an adjustment, made the adjustment, and shut it down. Basically, the second half, it was just nothing.
Well, then it also becomes a point when you're down so much, you can't run it.
Right, because you kill the clock.
You're right.
And you need to move the ball down the field.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Clemson had the longest drive in program history to end the game. They held the football for the last 10 minutes and 2 seconds in the fourth quarter. It's the longest drive that they've ever had in program history to finish off the third national championship in program history. And they had one pass in the entire drive.
Yeah,
they ran it
crazy.
Right down Alabama's throat. Now, the game was over at that stage, but it was complete and utter domination. As much as we can get on Tua for some of his decisions, Taz, you can look at Jonah Williams, who's going to be a top 15 draft choice in April's NFL draft. I mean, he was getting knocked backwards. That Alabama offensive line was getting smoked left and right. They were getting utterly dominated at the point of attack.
Quinnen Williams, the excellent defensive tackle, nose guard for Alabama, he wasn't as great as we all thought he was going to be. I mean, unfortunately, he just didn't have a great game. I mean, he made a couple of good plays, but it wasn't nothing. You know, that O-line for Clemson controlled him. And, you know, I got to tell you, I really feel Nick Saban, I mean, this is going to make that Alabama team better next year because he is going to be, could you imagine when they go back to work at some point early in this year, meaning the Alabama football program, Saban, I would assume he's going to be a tyrant. Worse than ever. He's going to be a nightmare.
You know, it's interesting.
Think about that.
You're right. Well, I mean, and they had an interview that Rinaldi did with Belichick and Saban and talking about their relationship. And, you know, it was, I'm sure the pieces online give it credit, and talking about how, you know, what their relationship is, even though they've, you know, I have to go way back to the Cleveland Browns when Belichick was the head coach, that they were on the same staff together. But how similar they are, and, you know, kind of how different they are as well. Who's a more demanding guy? It kind of came away from it that Saban's a little bit more demanding on his assistants than even the great Bill Belichick.
I got to check it out. I didn't see it.
It was a very good piece brought together by, I mean, to the point, closeness to the, it, you know, fascinating this. Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's father, hired Saban as an assistant when he was down at Navy, right? Mm. And said he was one of the more impressive young coaches that he's ever been around. So I forget the year that, I think it was 05, that Steve Belichick passed away. And Bill was at the, you know, at the funeral home, and I think Nick was at that stage, he was coaching Miami, and it was a game week. And Saban showed up at the funeral home to pay respects to his father. He said the last guy I ever thought to see walking through those doors was Nick Saban. And there he was. It was kind of interesting talking about the relationship. It was a very, very good piece
on ESPN
that was on during the pregame show last night, of talking about those two guys and their relationship, their strengths, their weaknesses. And really what makes them tick. But to play the point that you were making in terms of demanding, it was interesting. They kind of both agreed that maybe Saban was a little bit more demanding of his assistants and a little tougher to coach with than even the great Bill Belichick.
More than Belichick.
Right, but Saban also said Belichick has the greatest focus of any person he's ever been around. Singular focus, to be focused, to be able to tune anything and everything else out in life. And to remain focused on the task
at
hand.
I got to do that. I got to be, Moose.
Yeah.
That's what I got to work on.
Yeah, maybe you should go coach with Belichick.
No, I should start doing it on the show here. I knew that'd get you. By the way, dude, 15-0, right? So Clemson goes 15-0. They achieved the greatest record of any natty champ, any national champion ever since 1897. I believe it was UPenn who had that, the Quakers. If I'm correct,
there you go.
That's crazy, right? How about that? 1897.
That's a great accomplishment.
Wow.
And it was a great performance. And we want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you're an Alabama fan, as long a night as you could possibly imagine, and I'm sure It was one that was hard to watch in the second half. If you're a Tiger fan, college football fan, and you were happy to see Nick Saban get that kind of butt whooping, want to hear from you as well. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, your number to call. Clemson, your national champ. 44-16 final over Alabama. Want to hear from the College Football Nation next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lot is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Do get it all right now. Geico.com.
You know, we've been doing a lot of chatter here, Moose, about Alabama and Clemson, how Alabama got smoked by the Tigers and Clemson. 15-0 season, national champions. Let's go down to Alabama and talk to Joey. Joey, you're on with the Taz and the Moose. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's up, Joey?
Hey, first of all, hand it to Dabo. Class act. Bama got outplayed, got out close. He got outplayed. I mean, just outclassed, man. You know, the penalties. You know, the defense. I just don't know. They got smoked. They got took behind the woodshed and just got an old-fashioned butt whooping.
There's no doubt. Yeah. I don't think it came down to a penalty here or there, but, you know.
No, but it just added up.
There was no. If you're not going to, you know this, Joey. I mean, you're down there in Alabama. The concern about Alabama's defense all season long was the secondary. Surtain's going to be a hell of a player, but he's a freshman. And you lost six defensive backs off last year's team. And making up for that kind of difference. And how do you do that? By getting pressure on the quarterback. If you don't hit Trevor Lawrence and he's able to step into every throw, you know, he's going to burn that secondary. And you got little to no pressure on Lawrence all night.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but speaking of Trevor Lawrence, there's your next Heisman Trophy winner right there.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's your next multimillionaire too, Joe. We appreciate the call. That guy is going to be a number one pick and be a superstar in the NFL. No doubt, Trevor Lawrence. No doubt.
Yeah, you're looking at a couple years down the line for Lawrence. You know, Tua is going to have something to say about that as well, who he's there at trying to be the number one overall pick in next April's NFL draft. Not this one, but the one after this in 2020 when he would be draft eligible. It'll be interesting. Alabama will get better off of this. The secondary certainly will get better. They'll be a little healthier. They missed Miller. I mean, Miller with the hamstring injury. When he is on the field and he's got some kind of giddy up under his uniform and a harness for his hamstring, you know your number 47 is not going to be able to do what he has done all season long for Nick Saban and that Alabama defense, Taz.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When there was no pass rush on Lawrence, it was going to be a long night.
Yeah,
it was going to be a long night. They couldn't generate stops.
They couldn't.
And if you're not going to generate stops, then you got to go toe-to-toe offensively, and you've got to be efficient. And you can't settle for field goals and fourth downs and failures there and fake field goal attempts and, Tua running for 4 yards on fourth and five, or was it 5 yards on fourth and six? Those things you got to finish drives off, and they just did not.
No, they didn't. And, you know, in regards to first downs, believe it or not, they were kind of like – they were close. I think they were a couple first downs off. I think Clemson had 21, Alabama maybe had 23 as for the game. Like, and you would think but you know, the pressure, what you're pointing out on Trevor Lawrence or lack thereof, that's the key. They weren't – usually you want to get – the type of quarterback he is, he's kind of quasi straight drop back quarterback type guy, Lawrence. You want to get pressure up the middle, right? We all know that. You want to get it up the middle. They didn't get that. They didn't get it off the edge. They didn't get it anywhere. You know, I mean, I don't think there was enough blitz packages in there. It was just he was too comfortable the whole game, Trevor Lawrence, the whole game.
Yeah, just a bad night all the way around for Alabama, but a wonderful performance by Clemson. First time this morning, Bogus is in the house.
Oh,
good morning,
wow.
Andrew.
Look at this.
Oh, hey, Taz.
Hi,
good moment. Great to see you, Moose. Good morning. Hope you're having
up,
a great
buddy?
Tuesday,
Every,
guys.
Yes.
Hope your Monday was awesome.
Happy work, friends. Yes.
What is today?
What was happy work, friends?
What's that?
What is this, Twitter Tuesday?
I
don't want to step on Taz's toes in this.
It's not my
it's Taz
baby
Tuesday.
Oh, no. Can't say that.
Is that what it is on Twitter today?
Might as well be.
No, on Twitter? No. It's not Taz. No, it's not a Taz.
I don't know.
No, no, it's like the,
hello.
It's not. It's. I think what he means.
Twisted Tuesday.
AB's like saying like he kind of. I think he makes fun of because I get angry of the radio cliches.
Right.
So he tries to take shots.
Just poking the bear.
That's kind of what he does.
Well, what is today though?
I don't know. Tide Tuesday. Tigers Tuesday?
Tigers Tuesday
Tigers
could be.
Tuesday. Your,
that's what or just Happy Tuesday, as most
well,
people
no,
around the world
on Twitter. What is today, Taz? You're Mr. Social Media.
No, I'm not
What's
Mr.
Today?
Social Media. And they don't name days on Twitter. So
that's not true.
That is true. That is true.
They have hashtag, what is it? What's Tuesday?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Where did you hear this?
Hashtag throwback Thursday.
What's a hashtag?
Today's Tuesday, bro.
Well,
how many chairs you been hit with in your
career? I said just like, no, no,
what are you talking about?
Follow along here. Follow along. Stop speaking. Listen.
Here we go. I'll listen.
Just like there's throwback Thursday,
right?
There is one for Tuesday. What is it? You're Mr. Social Media.
I am not. Why must you deem me Mr.
You
Social
are.
Media? No, I am not.
You are.
No, I'm not. I'm
oh,
Mr. 2019.
No, you're
it's
Mr.
My
Social
new
Media.
I just gave myself a new gimmick. Mr. 2019. No, no, because I'm in the times, so that doesn't make you Mr. Social Media.
Well, no, you are, but I deem you that.
No,
so
you
what
shouldn't deem me that.
Mr. Social Media, what
I'm
is Tuesday on Twitter?
Media.
I'm sorry.
Dude,
my bad.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer this question.
Maybe your team could figure that out.
It's Mike, why are you wearing blue headphones?
Tip Tuesday.
Okay, thank you.
Tip
Transformation Tuesday.
Ooh.
Tongue Out Tuesday.
Ah, I just did it.
Travel Tuesday. That's all I got.
Okay.
Mike, what's with those headphones? You get those for Christmas or Hanukkah or something?
I got them with Amazon money that was given for a Christmas gift, and they sound great.
Any reason why you got blue?
It was the cheapest one.
Okay. Well, because if we ever get video on the show, then we're going to see blue headphones on Mike. I don't like that look. We'll have to work on that. We'll change it. We'll get them wrapped in black. So anyway, AB, how's it going, Haas?
Hey.
Good morning.
It's going really well, guys. Good morning.
Moose
Great
good morning.
To see you.
Oh, good morning.
Here's your report brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. A year ago, Tua Tagovailoa rescued Alabama from a halftime hole in the national title game. Last night in Santa Clara, Tua helped put the Tide in a halftime hole against Clemson.
Again, Tagovailoa going to throws, and it's picked! Picked at the 45-yard line, it's going to be returned for six!
Boom!
Tagovailoa gets picked, and it's returned by A.J. Terrell for six! Oh, what a play for the Clemson defense.
Don Munson on the Tigers radio network. There was no rally this time for the Tide. Tua threw a second pick. The offense held scoreless over the final 44 minutes, including failed fourth downs and a lame fake field goal. Clemson QB Trevor Lawrence threw for three scores without a turnover or a sack. Running back Travis Etienne ran into and caught one of those Lawrence TD passes. The Tigers an emphatic 44-16 victory to claim their second national title in just three seasons. Dabo Swinney's team, the first unbeaten champ in the five-year history of the CFP.
There was a lot of talk about best ever all year long. We were never in that conversation. But tonight, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side,
UPenn was the last one who did that in 1857. UPenn
was what?
They were, as far as being undefeated, being a national champ that was like to that level. I was just reading this earlier. You're not paying attention to the show. Moose, you heard me say
it. I'm just typing up.
Clemson achieved the greatest record of any national champion since 1897. The team that did it was UPenn, the Quakers, the Ivy League ones.
You just said 1857.
I made a mistake.
57 or 97.
It's
Thanks
Moose.
Very much.
Very
Moose,
memorable.
It's tasty. It's tasty Tuesday.
Just like yesterday.
Get the stat correct.
It's tasty
Get
Tuesday.
Get the stat correct.
Relax. I'm not a stat guy. Tasty Tuesday.
Gonna,
I just saw it.
You're going to bring up history of the game. You got to get the year right. People like 1857. Football wasn't even around. What the hell are you talking about?
I was off by 30 years. Relax.
Taz, what are you smoking? Put the bowl down.
They play pit.
Jeez. All right.
What was their strength of schedule in 18?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, 90. That's a whole other story. All I know is the Quakers did it, baby. So.
On the flip side, last night, 28 points is the largest loss in Nick Saban's Alabama tenure, which began in 2007. Cliff Kingsbury no longer appears on the USC football website. The Trojans' possible offensive coordinator expected to interview for the Jets and Cardinals head coaching jobs now. He may have already spoken with Gangrene. I don't know if you can confirm that, Taz, or not.
I'll talk to my people.
Thank you. The Packer coaching search is over. Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur reportedly taking over for Mike McCarthy. Ohio State QB Dwayne Haskins has declared for the NFL draft, and Greg Schiano is no longer the Buckeyes defensive coordinator. He's apparently pursuing NFL jobs. Ohio State replacing Schiano with Michigan D-line coach Greg Madison and former Niners assistant Jeff Hafley. 32 points for James Harden in Houston's 125-113 win over Denver. Only 30 from Giannis as his Bucks hosted the Jazz.
Giannis looking, lobs into Lopez. He goes to work right there to Giannis. Throw it down. 107-99. Bucks lead by 8. Lopez drew Gobert to him, and that set up Giannis for the right-hand slam.
That's Ted Davis on Bucks Radio. Milwaukee topped Utah 114-102. The Blazers handle the Knicks 111-101. San Antonio won in Detroit 119-107. And the Pelicans kept the Grizzlies struggling 114-95. 36 points and 13 boards from Anthony Davis. Memphis has lost 6 in a row.
It's interesting. I'll let you finish. I want to bring up something that we did on the show here, all of us.
USA Today says the Phillies will meet with Bryce Harper and agent Scott Boras Saturday at Harper's Las Vegas home. And on ice last night, Nashville shut out Toronto 4-0. St. Louis won in Philly 3-0. The Flyers have dropped 7 straight. Taz?
Hey, so Moose, AB, Mike, Pete. So yesterday we did our Secret Santa. We all got gifts. We all seemed kind of happy.
Right on time.
Just curious. Is did anyone utilize the gifts that were given by all of us to each other?
No.
No.
No?
I did. I'm wearing the hat, and I used the coaster yesterday.
Not a problem. Oh. Mike B.
I did. I'm using my honey. Okay. I'm going to have some oatmeal. Go.
Well, Moose,
did you wash your hat?
I did not.
Oh. So it still reeks?
The smell faded.
Smells like a 50 rings Robusto.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
So my value went up. Moose, you didn't use your envelope that AB gave you with the Sharpie on it?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
You should, like, if you ripped it up and threw it in the garbage, that's using it, because that's what I would have done with that.
Yeah.
That gives you an envelope.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Well, the gift that the Moose gave me, this unbelievable smoke, this unbelievable stick, this great cigar.
Right. Did you smoke it?
No. Okay. No, bro, this is...
Lost
you
it.
You don't understand what you gave me here.
No.
This is a precious thing. And I'm not, sometimes I can exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating. This was a epic gift.
Oh, nice. Good. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
I text my brother-in-law. I said, look what this guy gave me. I sent him a picture. He goes, whoa, that guy must really like you. I go, actually, he hates me. But he got me this beautiful gift.
Hate. Yeah, I wouldn't smoke it, Tez. Just in case.
I wouldn't say hate. Yeah, don't smoke it. I smoke it, it blows up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Like my goatee flies off. Wow, jeez. Moose put a firecracker in it. That would be hilarious. Yes. Put one of those pop rocks in there. Remember when you were a kid throwing them
like,
off?
Right. Like Wile E. Coyote.
He bought one of those dirt rocks at 7-Eleven for $3 and put the fancy wrapper on. Like, whoa, look at this. No.
Well, I'm glad he enjoyed it.
I didn't smoke it. I put my nose under, I smell it, and I know what you bought me is authentic.
Okay.
And real and exclusive. High-end Jones, as we call it, in the cigar business.
Good, I'm glad.
And that's just not just smoked on some random Monday night. That is held for special moments. And I will take a picture of it. It's in my special humidor. I have two humidors. Okay, my special humidor with the special smokes, and then I have the dumpy ones where for general consumption. People just come over the house, have a cigar. That's not with this. I put them with the nice ones.
Cool.
I just wanted to share it with the audience because people are wondering. So
yeah, even the Kingsman is like, back again?
Oh, God, Kingsman, enough. I did see the Kingsman did tweet last night during a national championship promoting this radio show.
We haven't heard from him in a while.
I know.
I mean, somebody's got to, Tez.
Right.
Look at Captain Video on there running the ball with those headphones. Captain Video with the Martian head.
Captain Video is a great...
good brand.
Yeah, very good brand.
Look at the size of those headphones. It's unbelievable, Pete.
Hey, they could be twice as big. I'll feel very comfortable.
As long as they're comfortable on the head.
Yes, exactly.
That is
They do look nice, supple on the ear.
I feel great.
Looks like you have two ottomans on your ear.
They look great. I think they look good.
Two ottomans like a wire. Photos of Ottomans on his head.
And it's not like Pete's head is small. So no. Imagine on a regular size head.
He's got a head like a stop sign. You kidding
me? Put it on Billy Jackalone's head.
It wouldn't fit. It'd be on his shoulders. He'd be wearing like a headband.
That's funny. Oh, my God.
We'll get back to the national championship game. We'll talk a little bit about the future of Alabama and Clemson. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's James Harden, the MVP guard, racked up 32 points, 14 assists as the Rockets knocked off the Nuggets 125-113 in Houston. Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. Certainly the fallout last night from the 44-16 victory for Clemson over Alabama in the national championship game. And Taz, overall, I mean, we chatted about it before the national semi. I mean, the bowl season was horrific. The national semifinals were non-competitive. Last night's national championship game was non-competitive. I mean, you could have turned that game off at halftime and knew the result as much as Clemson was dominating Alabama in the first half. And I know there's not going to be wholesale changes. There's not going to be expansion to the playoff system. And it's not taking anything away from Clemson in any way, shape, or form. But the games were bad. I mean, they were just flat out bad. Last night's game, I asked you the question yesterday, will it live up to the billing? And I certainly thought it would, didn't. It was a night and day difference between the two teams as everybody was running to rip Notre Dame after their 30-3 loss to Clemson. Certainly, even in a 27-point loss, Notre Dame looks a lot better as Alabama lost by 28 last night.
Yeah,
I know. And it was really disappointing. Really was.
And you know what? It was. I agree. In the bowl season, I watch all the bowls for the most part, most of them, and I have to agree with you. I think a lot of the bowls sucked this year. But I will say about Dabo Sweeney, you know, the head coach of Clemson, and you know what he's done, the way he does what he does, I should say, as far as the way he motivates his team, and he did it all year with that whole Roy busting the rest of y'all, meaning Alabama and the rest of y'all, and he put himself, his team, his program, as part of that little engine that could type thing. And I think that's smart by Dabo. He paints his program that way to his team. He makes them feel like they're the guys that are trying, that they're on a come up, they're the little engine that could, and Alabama's the big bad Alabama, which they are. And he talked about Roy that the whole year. I heard him talk about the Roy bus. It's basically the Alabama's driving a bus, and it's the Roy bus, the rest of y'all. Listen, Mr. Sweeney, coach, you're driving that bus. And the whole while, you were basically motivating your team by teaching them how to fight from underneath. I respect that by Dabo Sweeney. He's smart. He's a smart guy, the way he motivates his players. Where Alabama, they're the kings of kings, right? They've just been the top of the heap, and they are the empire, right? So now things have changed a little bit here. And this is going to make Moose, I think, Alabama even better, and that's scary. And it's going to make Nick Saban even scarier because they had a bad game. They got embarrassed. They got smoked. They got their asses kicked. I got it. They're still, you know, an amazing, amazing program. There's no doubt about that. Top of the heap.
Yeah, you know, all in, rest y'all, everything that Sweeney has to say to motivate his young players down in Clemson, it is working. He's built a national brand, national program. Everyone thought Clemson had this potential dating back years upon years ago. People questioned the hiring of Sweeney when he was brought aboard. He said that, if you're not with us, you're against us. That was the mantra initially when he took over the program. In terms of everyone get on board of what they want to accomplish, and he's accomplishing it. They're getting big-time players. I mean, for the fact that Trevor Lawrence, a Georgia kid, goes to Clemson says a lot. We know he was the top-rated quarterback prospect in all of high school a year ago, and he entered Clemson last January. You know, as Alabama was winning another national championship, Trevor Lawrence was entering that Clemson program. And you look at what he's been able to do, and you know, he's going to have one big recruit after another. Who wouldn't want to go play after watching what Sweeney had to say to his team, his players, the way that his players love him? Who doesn't want to go out there and play for Dabo Sweeney right now if you're a young player? Number one, he produces pros.
Right.
Number two is he presents an atmosphere in which he makes football a really enjoyable experience in terms of the work ethic. He's a supreme motivator. And he's got an unbelievable drive. I mean, last night he was talking about the fact he can't wait till next Friday when he has his first coaches meeting to plan the offseason. How about the very fact of he plans his schedule 13 months in advance every single day? Every day, 13 months in advance. You know what he does that for? He does that for his players to know what's coming up. But he also does it for his coaches and his assistants and everyone part of that football staff. So when they know they have to work and when they know that they can get away and spend some time with their family. So wow. he is,
that's structure, man.
I mean, that is unbelievable amazing. When you think about what Dabo Sweeney does and what his crew and his team does for that Clemson program. Think about that. 13 months in advance.
Reminds me of Mikey B. He kind of does that with this show.
Yes, exactly right.
Structure and plans.
Yes.
Right, what, 12 months, Mike? Not 13 months, right?
You sometimes it's years.
Yeah.
But that is amazing.
It is.
We're obviously joking about
Mike. It just shows you, for Sweeney, it just shows you what you need to do in order to be successful. You got to go above and beyond.
Amazing.
And,
that's amazing. It really is.
His drive is unquestioned, and right now they are the class of college football.
Yeah, they are, man. They are. And look, I remember even growing up back in the day, Clemson, they always had a good program, you know, years back. But what Dabo's done with this program since he's been there, it's taken it to a whole nother level, dude. I mean, they are just and you mentioned recruits, and you're right. They can pick and choose what they want, what players they want, as long as those players want to go to them, unless some of those players start thinking about, like, a Kelly Bryant. What happened with Kelly Bryant, where not blaming Dabo, not blaming the coaches, not blaming Kelly Bryant, but that happens when you have sometimes you have too many great players, some of them leave and transfer because they want to play right away, you know what I mean? So you could have that too, where you have the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world, where some of these players are like, well, I want to go somewhere and make an impact right away. I don't want to sit back and wait too long, you know, because I want to be able to go to the NFL. So, you know, but that's stuff that recruits have to make those decisions with their families and themselves and stuff. But that's the only thing. But that's a good problem to have, right? If you're Clemson, you know, yeah. You have too many guys that want to come
too
to
much
you.
Talent?
Too much talent.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not that's
creates
not
competition, you know.
Right. That's not necessarily a bad thing when you've got too many players.
The depth is insane that they have.
And you're right. It's difficult now to play to the point that you made earlier. If you're Dabo Sweeney, to say we're the little engine that could, because they're no longer that.
They're no longer
that program. They're the class of college football. And I think Alabama and Clemson have separated themselves from every other program in college football. And some other teams like LSU, run down the list, have got some catching up to do. But Clemson's now the part of the pursued. They're not the pursuers.
Right.
They're the program that people are going to look at as being the one to model their program after. What are they doing? How are they able to get better? How are they able to grow and expand? How has he been able to do this? That's the way Dabo Sweeney's program. It's all credit to the players that committed, to himself, to his staff. What they've been able to accomplish, it's just remarkable. And last night was really the emphasis of that, of really the Clemson program coming into full blossom, as we all witnessed. Because I don't think anybody thought Alabama – people thought Alabama could lose last night. I didn't think anyone thought Alabama could get beat the way they got beat last night. They got outclassed.
They got punked out, slapped around, beat up, outclassed, everything you just said. You know, and it's what are you gonna do if you're Alabama? You got to do what Nick Saban's doing. Nick Saban's taking the heat. He's putting the blame on himself. He said, we didn't go out there. And by the way, Nick Saban during that game last night, he seemed much calmer. Like he saw him trying to be motivating to players. If kids were making mistakes on the field, he wasn't going berserk and throwing headsets. Maybe I missed something, but I didn't see him doing it really much at all. Didn't he seem a little calmer to you? He seemed a little calmer, like on that fake field goal. He said something to the special teams coach, then he didn't yell at the kid. Like, he was just clapping it up. He seemed a little bit,
Yeah, he did. After, especially after the fake field goal. Although he did look a little like two guys were trying to explain it to him.
Right.
You know, one went wrong. Right. Yeah. Afterward, after that fake field goal did not work. He did.
I like angry Nick Saban. Better.
Yeah, but I do think you come a point where, you know, you realize it's not your night. And it was not Alabama's night.
Oh, it definitely wasn't.
It was not. And it just became more and more apparent as the game went along.
Well, Dabo's driving the Roy bus now, baby.
No question about that. Yep. Taz and Moose, an hour down. We take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.